Just a short while ago, I celebrated a birthday. And of course, when I said that in my own church, everybody, their ears pricked up, because we have a thing in Ballygowan, if anybody has a special birthday, it's always announced. And of course, it causes a wee bit of embarrassment, but people enjoy that sort of a wee bit of light-hearted sort of thing. And when I announced this, people thought, well, he's going to tell us what age he is. And they've been trying to find out. Probably they know already, but I just like to keep them in suspense. But I said, I'll be 50 in a short while. And people thought, well, I've really gone off it. I really need to see the doctor pretty quickly, because I've gone off the rails. Well, of course, I was 50 years saved, 50 years born again of the Spirit of God. Now, I know you don't think I'm that age, but, well, I assure you, I am much older than 50. But, you know, we look at this scripture here that we've read from tonight, and Paul said to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And I had the greatest of all privileges, that of being born into a Christian home. And what a blessing that is, that of having parents who knew Christ as their own and personal Savior. And my earliest recollection was that I was taught the things of God. And how wonderful that is, to be taught from childhood days the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about the commencement of my life, I was born in a townland called Cleena, Newton Butler, in County Fermanagh, right next to the border with County Cavan. The youngest of five, there were seven of us all together, two brothers, passed away at childbirth. But five of us left, three sisters, my older brother and I. I attended Newton Butler Primary School until I was 9 years old. And I attended the local Presbyterian church several miles from the farm where we made our living. Place called Ballyhoe Bridge. You ever hear a name like that? You thought there was only names like that up here in this part of the world. Well, up there as well, there are names like that. Ballyhoe Bridge Presbyterian Church. I must say, sadly, I cannot recall ever having heard the gospel in that church in my childhood. But my parents brought me along to gospel missions, conducted by the Faith Mission. And there I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed. When I was almost seven, my older brother left to train in the Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh. And that left my father at home on the farm, helped by my mother. But at the age of 49, my father developed serious heart problems, which meant that he had to give up the work on the farm and take on lighter work. So in 1966, we moved to Belfast, where I continued my schooling in Rosetta Primary School and eventually Park Praed Secondary School. But you know, from my earliest days, as I've said, I knew the way of salvation. I had learned it in my home. I heard it at these gospel meetings and gospel missions that we attended. But then God began to bring conviction upon my heart. We've heard of that from our brother tonight. And you know, without conviction, there'll be no conversion. But God began to do a deepening work in my heart. When we moved to Belfast, we moved to the Ravenhill Road, 153 Ravenhill Road. I still pass it very often. It has very fond memories for me, as will be evident as I go on tonight. I was brought to Ravenhill Presbyterian Church. And in that church there was a faithful man of God who taught me in Sunday school. A man by the name of Beatty, I'll never forget him. There was five of us in the class. We were all brats because we used to put pins under, drawn pins under the seats. Those old type of seats that you sat down on, they swayed down, and we had these drawn pins. And this man was an exceedingly stout man, and he just sat down in the drawing pins. Didn't seem to make much impression on him. He just taught us and preached to us the Word of God. But you know, that man was so sincere. I remember the tears rolling down his face as he pleaded with us to come to Christ and to be saved by the grace of God. He was brought up through the Boys' Brigade. My only interest in the Boys' Brigade was playing football. And of course, in order to get on the football team, you had to go to the Bible class. And so I was always in attendance at the Bible class so that I could get my name on the sheet for the first 11 on the Saturday morning. But at those Bible classes again, we were taught the Word of God. I remember hearing in that church some great preachers like Duncan Campbell and Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones came and preached the Word of God from that pulpit. And of course, anybody knows the history of that church. It was a church that knew great blessing in the days of W.P. Nicholson, when they came from the shipyard and they came up the road, and there were so many people that they took the pillars off the church as they went into the, sought to get in to hear W.P. Nicholson preach the Word of God. It was a time that that church knew the blessing of God upon it in a mighty way. But you know, conviction of sin began to come upon my heart, and I was faced again and again with my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. During those days, my father brought me to hear Dr. Paisley preach in the old Ravenhill Church, Glen Torrens Street. I never heard preaching like it. I must say, I've never heard preaching like it since. Powerful preaching. The Word of God powerfully preached. I remember him walking me down the Armour Road. If you know the Armour Road in Belfast, I don't think you'd walk down it now, but we used to walk on a Sunday night from where we lived on the Ravenhill Road down Park Road, and we would walk down the Armour Road, and then we'd walk down Ormo Avenue, down into Bedford Street, to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I can remember those meetings in the Ulster Hall, the preaching of the Word of God. I remember standing for an hour and a half because we couldn't get a seat. And we stood for those meetings. And then we walked back again. What meetings there were. And God began to deal with me and to speak to me about my need of salvation. But still I wasn't saved. Maybe God has been speaking to you in this mission. Maybe God has been dealing with your heart about your sin. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And that's how God was dealing with me. I was restless. I was disturbed as a young man. So I had the commencement of my life, the conviction that came upon me. But then I think about my conversion. And that took place 50 years ago, the 15th of January, 1969. I'd been attending a gospel mission. My father was one if there was a gospel mission on in the area, and the Word of God was being faithfully preached, he would support it. There was a gospel mission in Lisburn in the CW Hall, Market Street there in Lisburn. Reverend Sam Workman was the evangelist, a famous evangelist at that particular time. And night after night, we attended that mission, practically every night. It was when I came home one particular night into my bedroom, there at 153 Ravenhill Road, I often look up with fondness as I pass by in the car and look up at that window, the front of the house there, where I used to sleep. It was there in that bedroom as a young lad. I sought the Lord, and I was seeing, well, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And from that moment, 50 years ago, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. My life was transformed. You know, men and women tonight, and young people, salvation is a real thing. And it became real in my heart that night. And let me tell you this, it's been real ever since. And it is as real tonight in my soul as it was the night I got saved. You see, there's a certainty about God's salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that night I called. And that night I was saved. The Bible says again in Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that night I was saved. And again the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. And that night I came to the Lord. And he didn't cast me out. He took me in and saved me. Let me tell you tonight, the same Jesus that saved Alan Smiley 50 years ago can save you tonight in 2019. Can save you in this meeting tonight. As I simply came, so you can simply come. And so you can be saved tonight. But not only my conversion, you see, salvation is not just like a passport to heaven and that's it. And you sort of put it into your inside pocket or put it in the drawer and say, I've got the passport. I can travel where I want. I can go where I please. I can do what I please. And some people think like that. But you know, there's a continuation in the faith. Growing in grace. Going on with God. And as I moved into my teenage years, I began to grow. I was still attending the church, the Sabbath school there, the Boys Brigade Bible class, and Ravenhill Presbyterian Church. But in 1969, something happened. Something happened 50 years ago. The Martyrs Memorial Church was open. Martyrs Memorial Church was open. I remember attending that opening service. And as a young lad, I had a desire to go on with God. And I began to attend the services there with great regularity. Started to attend the prayer meetings, the Sabbath afternoon Bible class, the youth fellowship, any meeting I could get to, I was at. And those were great days. Great days. I remember Reverend Gordon Cook's father, who's now in the glory, used to be in the prayer meeting. As a young lad, I used to go to the prayer meeting. At 10:45 on a Sunday morning, an hour of prayer. I used to go to that prayer meeting. And I remember him meeting me there, and he said to me, young man, are you saved? And I said, I am. He said, it's good to see you at the prayer meeting. He says, you know, the way I look at it, young man, is this. If you're saved, you'll be at the prayer meeting. But he said, I give people 6 weeks if they're not at the prayer meeting. Sort of give up on them. But the Lord gave me a desire to be at the prayer meeting. And I was there. Began to grow in grace. I became involved eventually. Door-to-door outreach. Our brother, Reverend Priestley, he was senior to me. Some years senior to me. And we used to go together around the doors. An open-air witness. Eventually, I became a Sabbath school teacher. I remember being given a class of four boys. It terrified me. I don't know what it did to them, but it terrified me. But the Lord gave me grace. Gave me the words to speak. You know, some people, when they get saved, they think, oh, I want to be to the forefront. But it's good to start, even with a Sunday school class. Start at that lower level and just start to work for the Lord. I'm grateful too for godly elders who encouraged me and godly friends who give me strength through the fellowship of the gospel. Eventually the Lord led me into the fellowship of the Free Presbyterian Church to separate from the apostasy of that particular time in the early 70s, become a member of the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. And what blessings I have received through the years, through the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church. It has been a blessing. The fellowship of men of like precious faith and women of like precious faith and young people has been a blessing. But you know, I must say this tonight. The greatest ministry that I've ever sat under was the ministry of Dr. Paisley. A ministry of a man who could preach the Word of God, who loved the souls of men and women. And anything I am today, I must say under God, is due to the ministry of this great man of God now in the glory land. What a mighty ministry he exercised. Not only in Martyrs Memorial, but across this land and in other parts of the world. I remember those occasions listening to his ministry as a young fellow. I remember sitting in the gallery. The place was absolutely crammed to capacity. I remember many, many times people coming out from the gallery round about me, coming to be saved, walking down the aisles. I remember one occasion as he preached the gospel on the subject of hell. A man stood up where I was sitting. I nearly jumped out of my skin. This man just jumped out of his seat. He said, I don't want to go to hell. And Dr. Paisley just said, lead that man out. And that man came out and got saved. Those were days of great blessing. Days of visitation from the hand of God. My friend, tonight, let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Well, if not, he can become your Savior tonight. And I think of my calling to the ministry. It came about through the ministry of Reverend Cairns at a youth rally in the old Ravenhill Church in 1974. Used to be a youth rally at the start of every year. And he preached a message on the will of God. And that night, sitting on the stairway, I don't know what the building's like now. I pass it again, but I'm not sure what it's like inside now. But I used to go in through the door and there was stairs to either side. And he looked straight up to the pulpit and there was a left-hand side there. I was sitting on the stairway. There were so many young people in that meeting. And that night, God spoke to me. And God showed me clearly from his word and through the message that was preached that I was to go and preach the word of God. And so that same year I applied to the presbytery and was accepted. Start training for the ministry. I think at that time I was the youngest ever student that was taken in to the college. I don't know if that a record I still hold, I don't know. But certainly at that time, I completed training in 1978. And during that period, I assisted in our Lisburn church and then was placed as a student minister in Dromore in July 1979 and was there for some 18 months until I was called to our church in Corrigarry in March 1979. So in a week or so, Not only am I 50 years saved, but in a week or so, in my own church in Ballygowan, I will celebrate 40 years since my ordination to the ministry. And then I was called to John Knox Church in Belfast, where I served for almost 24 years. And since December 2004, I've been ministering in my present charge in Ballygowan. I suppose I'll be there till I retire in a few years' time. But it has been my joy to serve with many godly men and women in these congregations, some of whom have been called to higher service. I've had the joy, too, of serving in our presbytery with our colleagues in the ministry and elders, in the eldership of our church, in various capacities over all of these years, and had the joy for a 2-year period of being deputy moderator of our denomination. I thank God for being put in trust with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my aim tonight in all that I have said is not to bring glory to myself, but to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist there in Psalm 115 in verse 1, he said this, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. The great revivalist of Wales, David Morgan, the Welsh call him David Morgan, one occasion when God was moving in those times in Wales on the way home from the meeting, he was walking for miles. Not a word was spoken to the person who was walking alongside him. And then the man suddenly broke the silence and he said to David Morgan, he said, "Mr. Morgan, wasn't it a good meeting tonight?" And David Morgan said, "It would have even been a greater meeting if we would learn not to steal the glory for ourselves." And then at the top of his voice, he uttered these words, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And brethren and sisters and men and women tonight, I must keep on going for God. I must continue to preach the word of God. I must continue to contend for the faith. I must continue to reach lost souls for the Savior. For 40 years and more, I've been doing it. And God helping me, I will continue to hold forth the word of life. Has it been easy? No. The Lord hasn't called us to a bed of roses. It's not an easy road. The ministry is not easy. God hasn't called us to be at ease in Zion. God has called us to be laborers, to labor in prayer, to labor in the word and doctrine, to labor with evangelistic zeal. I'm still doing that, friend. I'm still knocking doors. I'm still inviting people to come to meetings. I'm still visiting hospital wards. I'm still visiting in prisons. I'm still laboring in the gospel wherever God gives me an opportunity. Let me ask you tonight, have you got a testimony? You've only got a testimony if you're saved. Our brother has a testimony tonight, because the Lord saved him. That's why he has a testimony. I have a testimony because the Lord saved me all those years ago. And you can have a testimony tonight if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? What are you trusting in for eternity? You know, I thought today about those three young people on Sunday night going to that party at Cookstown, at that hotel, on a Sunday night. I thought about that young mother at the hen party found in Carlingford Lock. I thought about those two men killed in that car accident in the early hours of Monday, driving on the road from the south toward Uri. Where are their souls? Where are their souls, friend? They're in God's eternity, but where are they? In God's eternity. And where would you be tonight if this were your last night upon this scene of time? Eternity! Eternity! Where will you be in eternity? I was visiting a man in hospital today. And as I opened the Bible, I named him by his name and I said, "Where do you stand with God?" He said to me, "No disrespect to you, Your Reverence, but," he said, "see all those Christians," he started about this Christian, that Christian, another Christian, and all these things about them. And he says, "Well, look, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you not be asked on the judgment day about those people. You'll be asked about yourself." And you may have come here tonight and you say, "Oh, but look at that Christian, look at the way they're living, and look at about that Christian, the way they're living, look at those people in that church, the way they're living." But friend, on the judgment day, God will not ask you about them. Ask you about yourself. How do you stand tonight? It's the most important thing of all. And friend, tonight, the Bible says it is time to seek the Lord. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not some other time. Now. You've heard it tonight already. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the only time you're sure of. Seek the Lord tonight. Because there's a time when you'll call, but God will not answer. You will cry, but God will not hear. The door of grace will be closed. There'll be no opportunity to be saved. God's given you the opportunity tonight. Seize that opportunity. I did it 50 years ago, friend. I want to tell you, Jesus is sweeter to me tonight than he ever was before. Sweeter. I look forward to being with him forevermore. What a prospect. Be with Christ. Oh, my friend, tonight, seek the Lord. Trust him tonight.